Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "I met Srila Rupa Goswami at Prayaga. He attracted and satisfied me because of his qualities." Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is not partial to some and neutral to others. One can actually draw the attention of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by service. Then one is further empowered by the Lord to act in such a way that everyone can appreciate his service. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 4:11. Yeyatamang prapatyante tangstataiva bhajamyaham. Krishna is responsive. If one tries to render his best service to the Lord gives him the power to do so. Krishna also says in the Bhagavad Gita, Desham satata yuktanam bhajatam pritipurvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamang upayantite. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bestowed his special favor upon Srila Rupa Goswami because Rupa Goswami wanted to serve the Lord to the best of his ability. Such is the reciprocation between the devotee and the Lord in the discharge of devotional duties. I would like to give you a little bit the frame, the contextual frame, it's actually said. In a contextual frame, it means something. Der inhaltliche Rahmen. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went with all the devotees one day to the little hut of Rupa Goswami. And he had with him Ramananda Roy, who was a scholar in terms of poetry. He had written a work called Jagannath Vallabhanatakam, which was something like a drama which was performed for the pleasure of Lord Jagannath. And he really knew the rules of poetical composition. It's actually stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita that only through poetry can you really enter the relish of Radha Krishna Leela, because poetry has the ability to express something indirectly. It can use ornaments and in this way the divine couple can be expressed. Otherwise, directly it is not always possible. You need analogies, metaphors, and things like that to create the expression. So they all had come, all the associates, and they had met Rupa Goswami, and they were very, very astonished by Rupa Goswami's very wonderful poesy. For instance, Rupa Goswami had expressed Srimati Radharani's mind when she was thinking of Krishna for the first time. At that time, Srimati Radharani was a little bewildered by her great attraction to Lord Govinda, because she felt attracted to so many aspects of Lord Govinda, and he said, she said, since I have heard the name of a person called Krishna, I have practically lost my good sense. You know, she had heard about Krishna and had become so totally moved that she lost her good sense. Then she said, but there is another man. There is another person who plays his flute in such a way that after I hear the vibration, intense madness arises in my heart. And then there is still another person, a third person, she says, to whom my mind becomes attached when I see his beautiful lightning-like effulgence in his picture. Therefore, I think, so Radharani thinks, I'm attracted to a person who has the name Krishna, that name Krishna is attracting me. Then I'm attracted by a second person who plays a beautiful flute, and then I'm attracted by a third person who has such a beautiful lightning-like effulgence, which I see in the picture, which my good friend Lalita shows me. Therefore, Radharani says, I think that I'm greatly condemned, for I have become simultaneously attached to three persons. It would be better for me to die because of this dilemma. So Rupa Goswami had written these verses, and the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had heard these verses, and they were moved. They thought, they said to themselves, without Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, no one could write like this. This is not the writing of an ordinary living being. It seems that he is empowered by you, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to understand and express these divine secrets. And now, my dear devotees, it is a fact that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu loves his devotees so much that he really, out of his love, empowers his devotees to have extraordinary understandings in Krishna consciousness. And also, beyond that, he empowers them to do some very nice service. If a devotee wishes to do the best type of service for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then the Lord very easily gives his devotee what he needs and maintains also those things which the devotee has for his service. This is really a quality of Lord Krishna and also of Lord Chaitanya, that they are very merciful to their devotees. Lord Krishna is extremely attractive because of his threefold bended form as the flute playing Krishna of Vrindavan. This attractiveness of Lord Krishna is so great that even Narayan wants to collect the dust from the Rasa dance area. This Prabodhananda Saraswati is saying. And when Lakshmi and Narayan come and see Lord Krishna and playing his flute and dancing, they become bewildered and they become devotees of Lord Krishna. Of Lord Krishna, of his transcendental body, what do you think is most attractive? The hand, maybe? The eyes?
I would say everything, because I can't explain it in English, but I'm used to eyebrows.
Yeah. Oli says generally everything is most attractive, but especially his, for Oli, the eyebrows of Lord Krishna are extremely attractive. Manjulali says, the smile. Manjulali and all of you have really come close to a secret. It is said, of all the parts of Lord Krishna's body, his face is most attractive. Now, his face is divided in two parts. The area of his face where the eyes are, that is extremely attractive, and Oli feels also attractive by the eyebrows. Maybe it is, I don't know if you know, but if you meditate about the eyebrows of Lord Krishna, you lose your attraction to gross sexual enjoyment. Did you know this? This is explained. So you have some very good attraction, and the eyes are very beautiful. But still, what lies under this line, this facial line, that is the beautiful mouth of Lord Krishna, and more than that, the beautiful smiling mouth of Lord Krishna is most attractive. And Manjulali, by some divine mercy, has revealed this today to us. But it is this, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that the smile of Lord Krishna is most attractive. Now, Lord Krishna puts on these smiling lips his transcendental flute. And when he starts to play his flute, a very transcendental phenomena happens. That is, the love which he feels for his dear devotees comes out of his heart into through his lips into his flute song. And when you hear this flute, you become totally maddened and totally ecstatic. Because it is really the most beautiful expression. It comes from the beautiful heart of the Lord, through the beautiful lips of the Lord, which are the most beautiful feature of his face, and in this way, it is so highly attractive, this flute sound, that everyone in Vrindavan, you know, stops everything the moment they hear the sound. It's not possible to continue with anything on relishing this flute sound. Now, because Krishna is so attractive, and especially when someone sees Lord Krishna, the devotees begin to act in very, very, very special ways to Lord Krishna. They actually begin to strongly criticize Lord Brahma, because he has made eyes with which you cannot see Lord Krishna without disturbance, because the eyes blink, and in this way close and open. Lord Chaitanya expresses this like this: when the onlooker of Krishna's face becomes dissatisfied, in this way he thinks, why didn't the Creator give me thousands and millions of eyes? Why has he given me only two eyes? Even these two eyes are disturbed by blinking, which keeps me from continuously seeing Krishna's face. Thus one accuses the Creator of being dry and tasteless due to engaging in severe austerities. Zu viel Entsagung hat der Bursche gemacht. The Creator is only a dry manufacturer, you know, Brahma Düsentrieb. He does not know how to create and set things in their proper places. And the devotees sometimes will even say, Brahma, it's so easy to make proper eyes for seeing Krishna. Look what you did already with the fishes. They don't have eyelids. They don't blink. Why didn't you apply the same principle which you have already done, applied in terms of the fishes, to the human body? You must be either totally foolish, or you must intentionally be cruel. This is how the devotees begin to severely criticize Lord Brahma, who's very much to be respected. I mean, he's the Creator. One should not talk bad about Brahma. The Creator says, let those who will see Krishna's beautiful face have two eyes. Just see the lack of consideration exhibited by this person posing as a creator. I mean, this is severe criticism. If the Creator took my advice, he would give millions of eyes to the person who intends to see Krishna's face. If the Creator will accept this advice, then I would say he is competent in his work. Otherwise, he's incompetent. Now, what I would like you to understand by hearing these verses is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's, or let me say, that Krishna is extremely attractive, but, and this now becomes very, very important, usually in this world, someone who is attractive sometimes is a little, you know, for himself. He does not really care so much for others because everyone cares for him. So he has enough love. He does not give his love very much to others. But Krishna is not like this. Although he is the supreme attractive personality, he is like thousands of gods of love, all in one person. He loves his devotees. And now, my dear devotees, listen very carefully. He loves each one of his devotees and is ready to do everything for them. Now, to understand Krishna's love for his devotees, I would like to, not only the devotees, Krishna's love for all living entities, I would like to draw your attention for a moment to one of Lord Chaitanya's greatest devotees, whose name is Vasudev Dutt. I think you must have heard about Vasudev Dutt, and especially about his extraordinary prayer. Vasudev Dutt is very much known because of a certain mood, a mood which is very prevalent in Christianity. Not long ago, there a movie came out called The Passion of Jesus Christ. What is the passion of? I don't know. It was a movie where the tremendous love which Jesus has for humanity at large is depicted in order to, you know, to help humanity at large. He accepted a huge amount of suffering, a suffering which ordinarily would have to come to the sinners, to the people who acted wrongly, and I mean an extraordinary amount of suffering. This whole movie was, from the beginning to the end, you know, a movie where the violence was shown, which was projected on Jesus Christ by his torturers. It was really, this was in the newspaper. It was so much violence was shown to Jesus, who was bleeding and who had to suffer whipping and oh, Krishna, all these things. And when this movie was shown in the cinema, many Christians came to this movie, and also priests. And sometimes there were priests who jumped up at the end of the movie and just said to the cinema goers, stop, don't leave the cinema. I have to confess to you. I'm such a sinner. And they started to cry. Jesus has done such a sacrifice for a person like me to deliver me from this material world, you know, I have not given him anything back. Instead, I have abused my position of a priest and have sinned. Many priests, some priests actually also committed suicide afterwards because they could not no longer live with the understanding that Jesus had done so much to take the misery away from them and bring them to God, that they felt, because they had done mistakes on their way, they felt totally unworthy before Jesus Christ. And then they thought, let me take this life. And this was the reaction to this movie, because this movie depicted, we should say, the higher theological truth of Christianity, that Lord Jesus has suffered for our sins, so that our path is clear. And in this movie it was shown, you know, what this meant. It was, oh, Krishna, there is a very, this, you know, no one, our Matajis cannot see this. They would most probably have a nervous breakdown. It is, Krishna. So this Vasudev Datta, this is now my point, he is considered in Vaishnava theology even more glorious, because Jesus seemed to suffer for his followers, but Vasudev Datta loved really all. He said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, please bring everyone back home, back to Godhead. And if you should think that they are too sinful and therefore cannot be taken back home, back to Godhead, then please transfer their sins to me so that I suffer for all these people. Do you have any idea what this means, this type of prayer? To suffer for all the people, that means you suffer for all the hungry people, for all the people who die in wars, who are murdered, who are, I don't want to destroy your appetite by bringing out what type of sinful reactions people get, all the accident victims, all the amputations, all the cancer patients. You say you everything I want on my back so that they can go back to Godhead. Not just the followers of Krishna consciousness or Hinduism, but really everyone. He was praying like this. Now, you must agree that to do such a thing requires a tremendous amount of love of others. Do you agree? Tremendous amount of love. But this love, as amazing as it is only a bruchteil, that is a small portion and of the love which Lord Krishna has to each one of his living entities. And there are many living entities. There is this universe, but there are many, many innumerable universes. Then there are those in Vaikuntha. Then there are, you know, how many human beings do we have on planet Earth? What is the newest figure? 1 billion? Billion, 6.8 billion. This is the scientific count. Yeah. I also heard 6.8 billion. In German sagt man Milliarden, ne? Das ist ein bisschen anders. Milliarden, 6,8 Milliarden. This is the count. Now, has anyone counted how many living entities are in this one planet Earth? I'm not aware. Animals, mosquitoes, you know. It is a recognized fact. So, Dr. Uli has all the numbers today. He's really our scholar. One knows that in one cubic meter, not even meter, 10 centimeters times 10 centimeters, there are more living entities than planet Earth.
In the soil, in the air,
Hare Krishna. Then you know, you can just imagine. You cannot imagine how many living entities there are in this planet, and Krishna loves them all. Although they are not his followers, most of them, you know, who live in the soil. And Vasudev said, let them all be delivered from this universe. But Krishna loves the living entities in all universes. You know, his love is really very, very much, very big. And very special. This is the power of Krishna's affection. Krishna pours his love to all. You know, we as human beings, we try to be nice and loving. But have you ever had this experience? You love one person very much. I mean, those who are grihasthas know this. This is a very open secret. And sometimes people feel, why don't you love me? They feel a little envious. Why do you only love this person? And you have forgotten me on your list. Or if we are gurus, that we are supposed to give our love to all the disciples in an equal way. But there will always be some disciples who will feel,
you don't love me as much as you love the other person. I know it. And you go like, ah, Krishna, a very difficult position, because you would like to love everyone, but you are, one is limited. Isn't it? Adishesh Prabhu, Adishesh Prabhu is an educator, and I think it's necessary for you to have good feelings for all the people whom you want to educate. But it's not so easily possible, because we are limited. We are not Krishna, let us say like this. But Krishna doesn't have this problem which we have. It can be a problem. Krishna is an unlimited lover. He's not envious. He even loves the piece of grass. Krishna, in the same way. This is. He says in the Gita, Samohang Savabhuteshu, I'm equal to all. He loves them equally. Very, very, very special. Now, even more loving than Lord Krishna is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. See, Krishna always, if you want to get Krishna's full, extra full love, not that love which he gives to equally to all, then you have to become his devotee and serve him. And Krishna will respond to you according to your devotion. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does not make such a contribution. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's love is that anyone who simply says Nithananda or Gauranga and you know, tries. Lord Chaitanya says he has purchased me. Lord Chaitanya is so much loving to his devotees that what was Lord Chaitanya's greatest desire when he was on this planet? It's very difficult to say. I mean, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's greatest desire was to go to Vrindavan. When he got his first initiation, when he manifested himself, he was ready to run to Vrindavan. Then he heard a voice. No, this is a bit early. You first have to start your Sankirtan movement. Don't go to Vrindavan immediately. Then when he took sannyas, the sacred order of sannyas, then he was really bound to go, and he started to go. And again, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was requested by his devotees, Lord Nityananda said, don't go to Vrindavan. See your devotees first. Because he really loves, Lord Chaitanya really loves his devotees, therefore he forwent. That means he gave up his greatest desire to go to Vrindavan, to go and see his devotees. You must know, when Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, Advaita Acharya, he exclaimed, he said, I will drown myself in the Ganga, because he couldn't bear the separation from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And if you try to prevent me from drowning myself in the Ganga, then I will go at night and do it at night when no one sees my suicide. But the devotee said, no need for you to go in the night and drown yourself. You can go now and we will all go with you. We will all drown ourselves. And they said, let's go. We will not eat anything. Before, we will just commit suicide. They felt so much love for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, At that time, Lord Chaitanya was on his way to Vrindavan. So they all approached the Ganga to drown themselves. It must be hundreds of devotees, you know, all ready to drown themselves because they couldn't bear the separation from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is love. But then they heard a voice again. Don't drown yourself, please. You will see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in 1 or 2 days. And it was a fact. A little later, I believe it was Nityananda, yes, Nityananda Prabhu had been sent by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to tell the devotees in Navadvip, please, you tell them they shouldn't drown themselves, no need, they should just come to Shantipur. I'm waiting for them at Advaita Bhavan, at Advaita Acharya's house. This is love, to give up what you want to do. Lord Chaitanya wanted to go to Vrindavan and do something for the pleasure of his devotees. And he really wanted to go to Vrindavan. So I would like you to hear a little bit, because we always hear you should love Krishna, but sometimes we ask, and Krishna, does he also love me? You know, love is a two-way road. It's never a one-way road. It's niemals eine Einbahnstraße. So, I would like to show you how Lord Chaitanya loves his devotees. Every year, there come these 4 months of the rainy season, and during this time, one of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associate, called Shivananda Sena, was acting as a travel agent. He arranged that all the devotees from Navadvip could see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri, and he paid for the expenses, for the prasadam on the way, for crossing the borders and giving toll. And he had a wife and 3 children. And they would come to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Puri, and they would clean, all the devotees would clean with Lord Chaitanya, the Gundicha temple, see the beautiful dancing of the Lord at the Ratha Yatra ceremony. And they usually had a lot of festivals, chanting and dancing, eating prasadam, and most important, hearing Krishna Katha from morning till evening of the Lord. So Shivananda Sena arranged all this, and therefore Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so pleased to him with him. He really was giving Shivananda Sena and his family special attention, because Shivananda Sena had understood you can best serve the Lord by serving the Lord's devotees. This is what the service which the Lord prefers of all the other services. If you help his devotees. Therefore, for instance, it is said, the preacher of Krishna consciousness is most dear to the Lord, because he helps the living entities in general to advance in his life, in their lives, and to go back to Godhead. Or someone, you know, when we are maybe not preaching, when we are in the Grihastha ashram, if we love the devotees and serve the devotees by sometimes inviting them, if there is a possibility in our schedule and we have time, you know, or doing something to serve the devotees. This is very, very good. So Shivananda Sena was always brought to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and once they brought the newborn baby, and this Mahaprabhu was very interested. Oh, what is his name? Oh, his name is Paramananda Puri. Oh, said Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Puri, come here, Puri, Puri. And the little baby was coming, and Lord Chaitanya stuck his lotus toe in the mouth of Puri Prabhu. Imagine, Murali, if Lord Gauranga would come down from the altar and stick the toe of his lotus feet into your daughter's mouth, wouldn't you be totally ecstatic? You would think, my life as a mother is perfect. Or Adi Shesh, this, you would immediately say, yeah, get a photo, get a photo. You know, because it would be a very memorable event in your life as parents. You would think, well, this soul goes back to Godhead. And you would start worshipping her most probably every evening with an arati or something, because you would feel, this is such a special soul my daughter is. So this is how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu loved Jivananda Sena and all his family members. In the day, Lord Chaitanya would chant with his devotees and dance and have Krishna Katha, and he would go with all of them to the darshan of Lord Jagannath and do kirtans around the Jagannath temple. Have you ever done a kirtan around the Jagannath temple? You must do this. This is the best Sankirtan, you know, road you can imagine for kirtan. We once did a kirtan around the Jagannath temple, and it is more ecstatic than going in Frankfurt into the Zeil. Heißt die Zeil, Adi Shesh, oder wie heißt die? Zeile oder Zeil? Nur Zeil. So. But in the night, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would relish Krishna consciousness. And here, the great poets, Vidyapati, Chandidas, and Jayadev, and would just relish their poetry and enter into deep states of separation. Mostly Ramananda Roy and Swarup Damodar were there, and were reading these verses to the Lord, and then they went away. When Lord Chaitanya was alone in the Gambira, after his devotees had left, he was so moved in love for Krishna that he was rubbing his face against the wall. And in the morning, he would sometimes be seen by Govinda, and Govinda would say, my Lord, why did you do this to you? You are now all full of blood. And Lord Chaitanya would just answer, where is my Krishna? This was his mood. But even when he was in the deep pangs of separation, he would never forget his love for his devotees. There was one devotee, his name was Shankara Pandit, who the devotees said should stay with Lord Chaitanya and keep him from hurting himself in his separation. So Shankara Pandit became actually known as the pillow of Lord Chaitanya, because when Lord Chaitanya would rest, he would spread his legs, and Shankara Pandit would lie like this, and then the legs of the Lord would lie on Shankara Pandit. So Shankara Pandit knew when Lord Chaitanya woke up, you know, and he could help the Lord to not hurt himself in his ecstatic love of Krishna. So a little later, Shankara Pandit, for this service, became known as the pillow of Lord Chaitanya. Wouldn't you like to be the pillow of Lord Chaitanya? That he rests on you, Ram Gopal? This would be the perfection of your life. So, Shankara. But of course, Shankara Pandit was like a devotee. You know, he had eaten prasadam, and in the night he felt tired, so he slept. Do you know what Lord Chaitanya did? Lord Chaitanya, whenever Shankara Pandit would fall asleep, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not disturb him. He would take his own chada and he would spread it over Shankara Pandit so that Shankara Pandit is warm and has enough warmth to sleep properly. So this was the love of Lord Chaitanya. He, even in the highest ecstasies of love of Godhead, in the mood of separation, he would not forget his devotees. The devotees obviously became very attached to him. And when they, the devotees of Navadvip, who had stayed with the Lord Chaitanya for 4 months during the rainy season, bid him farewell, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat down with everyone and he addressed them, and his love, which was in his heart, spilled out, and he expressed his love for his devotees. He said, "All of you see me every year and you take so much trouble to just see me. You stop everything for 4 months to just see me. I ordered Nitai not to leave Bengal and stay and preach, but Lord Nityananda, he has disobeyed my order." So when Nityananda heard this, he started to cry ecstatically, "Gaura, Gaura, Gaura." Then Lord Chaitanya says, "I'm a mendicant. I have no money to pay back all of your love. I only have this body. This body I surrender to you. You can sell it in the marketplace." So when the devotees heard this, they all cried and they were unable to leave Jagannath Puri. Advaita Acharya said to him, "Oh Lord Gauranga, by your love you have bound us to you. You are like a puppeteer, where the puppets are bound, you know, to the puppeteer's hand. You all pull our hearts to you. Now we can't leave you, just like puppets can't leave the puppeteer. You know, how will you, the puppets run away from the puppeteer? It doesn't work. It's practically impossible for a puppet to run away from the puppeteer." Ne? Stell dir mal die Augsburger Puppenkiste vor. Ne? Da sind ja diese Puppen. Wie sollen die ausbüchsen? Ne? "The entire world is attracted to you and you have bound them. So there is one particular pastime which I wanted to narrate to you, how Lord Chaitanya binds his devotees with the rope of love. I want to tell you about Jagadananda. Jagadananda went to the devotees in Navadvip and solaced their hearts. The devotees were very, very sad when they left Lord Chaitanya. So sad that the whole journey they cried, because they loved him so much. So Lord Chaitanya thought, "My devotees in Navadvip are so much suffering. I will send Jagadananda Pandit to them." And Jagadananda had to carry a lot of prasadam and mahas things from Lord Chaitanya and bring them to the devotees. And he would talk with the devotees about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. And he would talk so wonderfully that the devotees forbade him to leave the house. "You cannot go. You must stay and continue more." But he managed to leave, and he came once to Kumarahatta, where Shivananda Sena is. And he sat with Shivananda Sena for a serious consultation. He sat down and said, I want to bring a special present for Lord Chaitanya. What do you think would be good for him?" "Well, he's a sannyasi. What can we give to a sannyasi?" said Shivananda Sena. they thought, for many days they thought, what to give as a present to Lord Chaitanya? What would you give to Lord Chaitanya, Anandini? This is a very difficult question, isn't it? Actually, Gaura Bhavani is good in finding out presents for people and packing them very nicely. Nayika is very good in writing letters with different wonderful embellishments and ornaments. Women are usually better for picking presents than men, I think. Because you need to enter the mind of the person to whom you want to give the present. And what does he need? What could he need? So after a long discussion, they decided sandalwood oil. Because sometimes he's crying so much and dancing, and his head must become a little warm from this. So sandalwood oil is very cooling, and then this will be very pleasant on the hot head, some cooling sandalwood oil. This is what Shivananda Sena and Jagarananda Pandit, they came. And then they wanted to bring a big quantity, and they prepared from a lot of sandalwood, 15 kgs of sandalwood oil. 15 kilo. Das muss so ein Pot gewesen sein. And they put it into a clay pot. And then Jagadananda, with his own head, carried this while walking to Puri. And he came to Govinda and said, I have brought this sandalwood for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You please, in the evening, rub it on his head. Then he will sleep very nicely. Because it's so hot in Puri. And it will be cool. So Govinda said, I will try. He went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said, here, this Jagannathananda Pandi, with his own hand, has prepared this 15 kg of sandalwood oil, and he wishes me to massage your head. It is of high medicinal benefit for you. Lord Chaitanya said, no, I cannot. I'm a sannyasi. I mean, what will people think if I come down the road and I smell with this beautiful oil, sandalwood oil? They will think I'm a tantric sannyasi who allures beautiful women for intense sexual practices. Because they put some oil and then the woman smell it, and then they think this is a very good smell, and you know, how can I do this? You know, this is a practice of... I mean, they do also other things to get the ladies. I'm a sannyasi. You tell Jagadananda Pandit, this oil should be used in the lamps of Lord Jagannath and smell nicely in the temple. This will be the perfection of his efforts to make this oil. So when Govinda said this to Jagadananda, he was extremely careful. He said, listen, you have the better effect if you give the oil to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Jagadananda, who's standing on the altar, not the moving God. Jagannatha Pandit didn't say anything. After a few months, he said to Govinda, Govinda, massage the oil on Lord Chaitanya's head. And the way he looked, Govinda knew. I mean, he had to do it. So he again went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, Jagannatha Pandit has prepared this with his own hands, this oil. It is a loving oil. It is a manifestation of Jagadananda and Shivananda's love. You please, you know, just in the evening we can put it, and in the morning you shower, it's gone, no problem. Svetlana Mahaprabhu said, no, I cannot do it. I have taken the order of sannyas. You tell him, it's nicely used in the temple. So Govinda told the Jagadananda Pandit. The next morning, Jagadananda Pandit came. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Jagadananda, the oil is very nice which you have made. It is just suitable for bringing to Lord Jagannath. You have brought it all the way from Bengal. Jagadananda Pandit went right into the room of Lord Chaitanya. He took that oil out. He took it on his head and he said, who has said I brought oil from Bengal? And he threw the clay pot, bang, on the stepnitsa, how do we say it? Staircase. And it all went and was drunk by the earth. Gone. And then he went into his room, shut it, and fasted for 3 days. You have fasted for 1 day. Jagadananda Pandit fasted for 3 days. He stayed in bed. He didn't get up. He didn't even take a shower. Most probably he cried. After 3 days, you heard a very careful knocking. I'm not here. Nobody is here. Jagadananda, I'm very hungry. Could you please cook a little for me? I'm so extremely hungry. Said Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I mean, there were millions of devotees who wanted to cook for Lord Chaitanya and who were quarreling, and Govinda got this list, and he said, Mama, my lord, there's this list. How can you go to all, every day they wanted to cook, some other devotee was scheduled to cook, and so on. But Chaitanya went, I'm so hungry. Can you please cook? Immediately, Jagadananda got up, took a shower, and prepared a wonderful meal. And he called Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when it was ready. In the middle was a pile of rice with a lot of ghee, and then different sabjis around, and sweet cakes, put in milk, you know, so there's a very good taste. And Jagadananda said, you please take it. Lord Chaitanya said, I'm so happy that you cooked so nicely for the Supreme Lord. I'm a sannyasi, I will just eat a little. So he made a little to the side, but whenever he had finished it, Jagadananda put more. And Lord Chaitanya was too afraid to say no. After he had eaten 10 times as much as he usually eats. 10 times as much. Can you imagine to eat 10 times as much? I think we can imagine to eat double as much. And some of us, you know, I knew when I was a young devotee, when there was halava, I was able to eat 3 times as much as possible. With halava. With nothing else that would work. But with halava. But 4 times as much is, you know, that is your death. So he ate 10, and Mahaprabhu ate 10 times as much. Then he said, I really can't eat more. Jagadananda, now you eat. Jagannatha said, there are some, there's Raghunathas, and there's some other devotee, they want your prasad. I eat later. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I will stay and watch until you have eaten later. And no need, said Jagannatha Pandit. So Lord Chaitanya was not sure if Jagannatha Pandit had forgiven him. You know, this is love. He said to Govinda, okay, Govinda, I will go. I will not start my rest. And you stay here and watch until Jagadananda has eaten. Then you come to me and then I take my rest. Before that, I cannot take my rest. So Govinda came to Jagadananda Pandit. Came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said, Jagadananda has eaten. Okay, said Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and started to take his rest. And he felt great relief in his heart. This is the love which the Lord feels for his devotee. And this love, anyone who hears about this or reads Prema Vivata, that is the difficult book about love, because love moves like this, it's not always so easily recognizable. Anyone who hears this, he will obtain love for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and obtain the love of Chaitanya. It's very important. Krishna's Kaviraj says, anyone who hears about this and who hears about the Prema Vivata of Jagadananda and Gauranga. So Prabhupada says, anyone who reads Prema Vivata. See, the Prema Vivata is something may not look like love, but it is love. And that's usually the highest form of love. We hear this. When Mother Yashoda binds Krishna to a mortar, for an outsider like Hanuman, this gave a problem. He wanted to interfere and beat Mother Yashoda for doing this. But we know that actually Mother Yashoda's highest form of love is when it didn't look like love. When she, out of love, controlled her Gopal. So here also, you think this is not so much about love what we just heard. It's about temperament. But if you hear with a very different spiritual ear, you will recognize that although it does not appear like love, it is like love. Jagadananda carried this pot of oil. You could say he should have known that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't use the oil. He knows how he shouldn't. And then after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made it clear, he shouldn't have forced himself on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But then if you think like this, you do not know what love is. Love pushes through all these ordinary obstacles and just goes, you just want to please the Lord, and so on. You don't accept that he is a sannyasi. No, he's the supreme personality of Godhead for you. It says here in the scriptures, the progress of loving affairs, here it says, between a young boy and a young girl, is like the movement of a snake on account of this, two types of anger arise between a young boy and a girl, anger with cause and anger without cause. So here you also have the prema vivata, the movements of love which brings something like anger, but this is the highest type of love. in spiritual love, this is very, very high. This is very special. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Jagadananda Pandit, "A food which is cooked by an angry cook tastes better." Jagadananda Pandit just smiled at Lord Chaitanya. And he said, "I have not cooked this. This is, you have cooked this, my Lord. The person for whom this food was cooked, he cooked it." He expressed himself as an instrument, not as a good cook. But this is the spiritual world. Now let us come to the material world. In material world, love is what everyone wants to have. And we as the movement for Krishna consciousness are supposed to learn this love. So you will now get a little lesson in love by Sanatana Goswami. There are usually in the material world four types of insufficient love. And you might recognize yourself, and I recognize myself in all the four. The first is, you pose as a friend, but you are really not willing to serve the other person. You say, I'm your friend, but you know, when there's a time to do something for the other, I'm busy, I'm sorry. Another is, you appear to be willing to serve, but in your service, you don't show your friendship. You just do something mechanically for the other, but there is no love and no friendship. One thing is there's friendship, but you don't serve. And the other is you serve, you do something for the other, but it's so mechanical. I think all of us know how nice it is when someone invites us for prasadam, and when they open the door, they don't look stressed and they don't just throw you the plate before you, but they are there and they are, "Wow, we are so happy that you came," and their faces show it. So not just that they say it, and then you sit down and you eat, you know, and they want to serve you and you feel like, "Wow, this is so good," you know, and you, "May I also serve you?" "No, you have to eat." And you know, you feel, "This is very good, this is very good." Another thing is, there is a show of friendship, but the person who makes the show doesn't really care. Really, you know, he asks, "What are the news?" And then you tell the news, and he goes, "Oh, yeah," and "I have to make a phone call," you know, and you understand, he just asked me, "What are the news?" But he has no concern for me. Don't we sometimes feel this? And the last thing is, that is, you pretend to love the other person, but you really are not his friend. I know this sometimes. You know, people come to me. On Sunday, I did this in Heidelberg. Someone came to me, and I was really needing to see these people down in the room, and they could only have 2 minutes' time. I mean, they could only wait for not 2 minutes, 10 minutes, and the train went or something. So this person was coming to me and really felt so much the desire to talk to me. It's a person I know for a long time. And the person said, and this. And I, in order to not hurt the person, I said, it was very kind, but said, I have no time. But the person talked, and then I started to pray, Krishna, get me out of this, get me out of this. But outside I smiled, you know, to not make the disaster bigger. Very lovingly, you know, but inside I prayed, Krishna, let me get out of this. Please, 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 you are the super soul. Tell him to stop. Tell him that prasadam is now. You know, this is, I believe in this situation, what else could we do, you know? But this is sometimes, there is a show of love, of friendship, but inside is no desire to serve. Such inconsistent reciprocations are seen in material life where there is no true love. Krishna's dealings with the Pandavas, however, were always free from duplicity, and the feelings were mutual. The Pandavas were ready to sacrifice anything for the happiness of Krishna. My dear devotees, we have to learn to love Krishna, and this will only work if we learn to love his devotees. You can't jump over this biggest task which is ahead of all of you. You can't say, I will be a Krishna's devotee and love and not love the devotees. It will not work. Krishna will send you from his door by his messenger, say, go to my devotee. There's some, Krishna will not even come to the door himself. This is how Lord Krishna wishes to be approached. He wishes that we learn to love amongst devotees. I am very much aware that this is very difficult because I'm from the material world and most probably more fallen than any one of you. And I just know how difficult it is to love or show appreciation and affection to people equally. It is difficult. It may also be not possible. But at least to some devotees, we have to learn to give our affection. It may be difficult. We may have to improve our character. We may have to work on our selfishness or egocentredness, egocentrismus, that we are, you know, in our own little world, or maybe there's only three other people, or two other people, or one other person, or no other person with us in this world, this won't work. We have to go for this. And there are many, many verses where Lord Krishna directs devotees to this. So whenever you feel in your heart that there is a feeling that some misunderstanding amongst devotees develops in your life, you can know that you are on the wrong path. You can know somewhere in my devotional life the material energy has entered. Entered in a way which is absolutely unacceptable. You cannot accept this any longer. You must come at least to a level where you can greet all devotees affectionately. That you must. You may not have intimate relationships with everyone. The scriptures say we have intimate relationships with those who are of the same mood. But you must learn to at least greet all devotees affectionately, recognizing they are on their way, they serve Krishna, they are very good. This is important. And the Lord shows this himself. He doesn't demand it without doing it himself. Of course, he does it in a way which is inconceivable to us. It's really, as the English word says, in grand style. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Krishna. Let us not pretend to be Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Krishna. We are not. But let us understand the point and apply it in our lives. Even if we are not perfect at the moment, that is, who's perfect? But we should know that this is a goal in my life. And the moment you can live like this, you will find out that some wonderful thing happens in your life. The blessings will come. You all know that we in Germany have a different, difficult situation. You have heard about this? Lakshmi is not so easily available. We have great debts. If you want to know the whole story, go to Ram Gopal. He can tell you the whole story. It's almost a catastrophe. I mean, it has come to a situation where we seriously have to think of selling properties. For instance, Goloka Dham, or Cologne, or the German farm. This is discussed in great style. And you know what I personally feel? That this is Krishna's sign, to give us the sign. My dear devotees, you better get together now as devotees. Because the moment devotees get together and do things right, Lakshmi is not even a subject matter. There is one man who is very God conscious, and he's connected with the Veda Academy, and he was very poor, and he just said, I just want to serve Krishna. And then he made an invention. It's called the snake. In case you need it, maybe Bhakti Ratna, you can listen to this. You fix it in a building which is wet, and also which has pills, pills, fungus, and then it makes beep 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 beep, and then in a few days, it's dry. He has become a multimillionaire by it. He lost. His stories were very interesting. Did you know that the river Elbe flooded? Have you heard about this? A few years ago, there was this Elbe flood. Two years ago. And he lost his house because it was totally underwater. And then, when the water was gone, everything was destroyed and there was fungus all over. And then he just got this thing. I don't even know how it looks, but you put it somewhere and it goes beep, 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 beep. And then the water is gone. It's amazing. It's amazing. I mean, maybe you want to sell it and become very rich by it. I mean, hopefully it works to sell and become rich. And he just, Gadada went to it. He just had prayed to the Lord, and I just want to serve you. Please help me. Gadada had gone to him, and you might know in the Veda Academy you can't really enter any longer because the entrance is zugemauert. Yesterday some devotee asked me, then how do you go inside? And I said, well, there is. Mrs. Mataji, and she has her braid like Rapunzel, and then you have to climb up through the window. It's not as bad. There is some emergency exit. But it's clear that the place we can't really use and do what we think. That now there is another entrance. That means the temple. the altar had to go where the seminar room is. We don't have a proper seminar room any longer. And anyway, since long the place is too small, Mogrihastas have come there, Nadia Biharini and Bhakta Priya and some more. This is full now. Yamuna is married and Ananda Nitai and Prema Mayi. It's like many. So we have to move the place. And then Gadada asked the man, we have to move the place. The man said, I see you already in your place. But Gadada said, we have no money. And then the man got very angry at him. You are supposed to be a devotee? I am not such a good devotee. I'm nothing in comparison to you. And you speak about money? What's wrong with you? He said like this. And Gadara, but really, you know how it is nowadays when you say this to anyone in the Hare Krishna movement, they think you are wrong when you say this to them. You are fanatic, you don't understand, you are in my... I would also have said to the man, please don't think that I'm the bad guy now by using this example. I would also have said to the man, we don't have any money, we can't move. And the man would have gotten on my case also. But the Gadada told me on the phone, the way he said it, and the way his life was, and the way, it was just so strong that he also believes there is no money problem, at least for 2 days. He believed. You can ask him if you meet him now if he still thinks like this. Most probably, he has given this up. You know, Prabhupada, what I want to say is not that there is no money problem. I would just want to say, I believe very strongly, if we do what we are supposed to do well, that Krishna will take care of us. This doesn't mean that we don't have to work any longer or make an endeavor to get the money, but I really think this is the case. Because what I see now in the German Yatra is devotees who never spoke with each other are forced to sit on the table and talk to each other and find out, well, he's not so bad after all. He's a very good devotee. I mean, he wants to serve. Wow, I didn't know this. And I really believe the moment devotees learn this, what we are talking about, loving devotees, or let us say caring for devotees, or you know, being a little bit in this and working on this, I think it will work. This is my deep conviction, because I've seen it happening again and again and again, and I've seen it happening when devotees withdraw from the association of devotees, either out of, you know, there are millions of reasons why you can withdraw, and don't have devotee association, no matter what they try, there's always some frustration in their lives and faces. That is what I have seen. It is an objective investigation. And the moment this changes, something wonderful happens. And I believe it is because this is such an important principle for Lord Krishna, to love the devotees, and the spiritual world will come if we also, amongst ourselves, can extend our love to the devotees. Not just God. In fact, we can't reach God or Krishna if we don't love and care for the devotees. Krishna. By the way, this lecture was not really a Sachinandan Swami lecture. It was the lecture of a learning Sachinandan Swami. I have taken this lecture, now I will make my point even more stronger. Most of the parts come from Radhanath Maharaj. I listened yesterday at up till 12 o'clock to this lecture. And when I listen to this, I mean, I have changed a few things, gotten and so on. When I listen to it, I was thinking, oh, Krishna, he's so true, and he proves it by his example. And I mean, proofs are there. I guess it is. Why am I such a hermit? I have to learn to be more open for the devotees. And I really was thinking like this, and I considered my Ekadasi a success yesterday. It was in the evening. I thought, oh, now I have some. Earlier, I had listened to another lecture by one very nice devotee, some scholarly devotee, temple president from India, and I had listened and learned some other new points, but this I'm thinking, how true. So I want to request you to think about it. Please, I wouldn't ask you to think about a lecture, which I also asked you to think about my lectures, obviously, but here is a lecture which is not mine, so I can say, think more about it than you would think about my own lectures. And try to see if you can find some truth in it first. If you find some truth in it, then see how you can, apply this subject matter, and with what people you can apply it. And as you do this, you will see some a new sun will rise in your life. Krishna. When I joined the temple, I was told, we have to love the devotees. And I said, okay, how do I do this? I was just so much like a rebellious Hamburg person. Okay, how do you do this, please? And then they said, well, you have to serve the devotees. Well, what should I do? I asked a little bit more submissive. You can wash their shirts, serve them prasadam. Then I always started to wash the shirts of the devotees. And I became blissful in Krishna consciousness. Whatever bliss I have at this stage comes from the old days where my life was uncomplicated. Because we did things, yes, we were trained. Prabhupada was on the planet, and every week we had letters of Prabhupada, which he wrote, training letters to the centers, and we would read them for an hour and learn this, how we should act in spiritual life, and then we did it as good as we can, with many mistakes, of course, and much immaturity, but we tried. Good. So I have ended my class. I was a little bit longer. I think the points are very clear. I will not ask for questions at this moment. Or should maybe one or two, maybe. Is there other questions? Gaura Hari.
I was thinking of this wonderful lila you said about Jagadananda. And I heard that the Jagadananda is actually Satyabhama.
I also heard this, yes. Yeah, it's Prema Vivata, yes. Yes, Satyabhama, there is one particular scene which is extremely in this mood, where it is clear that Satyabhama acts in a similar way as Jagadananda Pandit, and they are the same. Satyabhama came as Jagadananda Pandit. And that is, when Lord Krishna in Dwaraka talks his heart. He's really there and talks about the devotees he loves the most. Can you imagine? I know who these devotees are? The Brijbasis, and amongst them Radharani. Yes, this is Radharani. Yes, but the devotees he loves most are, you are right, the gopis, you know, and Radharani is one of the leading gopi. And he starts to say things like, in Braj, I didn't even know how the days were passing. I was so happy. Here in Dwaraka, I'm only thinking of the time when I was in Vrindavan. And here I don't even play my flute because people would laugh about me. I'm the king who has a musical interest. So I can't even play my flute here. He explains how he feels in Dwaraka. And then he sees Satyabhama is not there. She doesn't want to hear this. You know, Satyabhama really is called in English eavesdropping. In Deutsch you call it, sie steht hinter der Tür und lauscht. And Krishna sees, where is Satyabhama? I want to talk my heart. And again, this lady is so obstinate. But really what Krishna says, she loves me so much. Bring Satyabhama. She sends someone to bring Satyabhama. Satyabhama comes in. And Krishna just gets on her case. He says, oh, Satrajiti. He addresses her as the daughter of Satrajit who didn't want to give the jewel. You must listen. And then he says, I only think of the gopis. And he talks about his heart. And Satyabhama is like that, you know, like you, like. It's a very, very dear devotee of Lord Krishna. Satyabhama is really Srimati Radharani, who has come as Satyabhama. When we hear about divine love, we must be very careful to not put our experiences of this world where these inconsistencies are there, which we have just said. And then, someone says he's a friend, but he doesn't want to serve. Someone serves, but he has no friendly emotions. You know, these different things, you know, we must be very careful because we don't know really what is the pure love of Godhead. We are beginners on the path. Krishna. You always find this, that the love which is disguised is the higher love. This was difficult in my relationship with Srila Prabhupada, because Srila Prabhupada was always so heavy with me. And I thought Prabhupada doesn't love me as a person, you know. He doesn't really love me. And then Prabhupada called me and that one day, and he showed how he loves me by fulfilling all my spiritual desires on that one morning. And then and there I understood that Prabhupada really acted all the time out of love for me. I understood it very clearly, and I have not forgotten this. You know, because a higher person who is on a superior level cannot be expected to act on our level because he's different. So I always remember that. See, I want to end with one question of Prabhupada. He once asked the devotees, who is your greatest enemy? What would you have said to this? No, it was like this. A devotee asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada, who is our greatest enemy? Fine. Oh, du weißt nicht mal, was enemy is? Wie bist du? Ach so, gerade nicht. Enemy, Feind. Wer ist unser größter Feind? Ich wollte dich jetzt nicht kritisieren, weswegen ich frage, wenn du nicht weißt, was Enemy ist, wie willst du eine Vorlesung in Englisch verstehen? Das ist doch das, das gehört so auf den ersten Langscheidsübungen da. Mit deinem guten Herzen nehme ich an, also so intuitiv. So, then Prabhupada said, you yourself are your greatest enemy. I read this yesterday in this new Krishna Kanamrita, Krishna Katamrita Bindu. You are your... I thought, there is no other enemy. You are your greatest enemy. So I can imagine someone who is an outsider, who hears this, who says, this guru is very happy. But Prabhupada, yes, he's heavy, but he is loving heavy. Krishna. God, let us end here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gonitai ki jai, Gaurap, Sisi Radha Madan Mohana ki jai, Go, Premanandi, Hari Hari Bo.